My name is Andrew Lockington. I'm the composer of the film Rampage, and you're listening to The Annotator.
Welcome to The Annotator, where composers share their thoughts and stories about their original scores. This is episode 34, where composer Andrew Lockington shares about his original score for the feature film Rampage. This is Christopher Coleman, and you can find all episodes of this podcast at theannotator.net. Canadian-born composer Andrew Lockington has composed original scores for feature films such as San Andreas, the Golden Globe-nominated Frankie and Alice, Percy Jackson, The Sea of Monsters, Journey to the Center of the Earth, City of Ember, The Space Between Us, and the Netflix series Frontier. He recently scored the 2018 American sci-fi monster film Rampage, directed by Brad Peyton. The film is loosely based on the video game series of the same name by Midway Games. The film stars Dwayne Johnson, Naomi Harris, Alan Ackerman, and Jeffrey Dean Morgan. It follows a primatologist named Davis Okoye, who must team up with George, an albino gorilla who turns into a raging creature of enormous size as a result of a rogue experiment to stop two other mutated animals from destroying Chicago. It is the third collaboration between Peyton and Johnson, following Journey to the Mysterious Island and San Andreas. In this episode, Andrew Lockington opens up his score for Rampage, sharing with us how he looked to nature to inform his approach, specifically studying gorillas and other apes and the sounds they make. He also studied African music and choirs, which eventually led him to employing the African Children's Choir. And finally, he discusses how he employed electronic elements into the score to connect the film to its video game roots.
This first track is called Space. It's the first track in the film. It's the credits, and then we're actually moving into the space station where we have our first incident. At this point in the film, we really wanted the music to give a glimpse into where it was going to go. And initially in working on this film, I played around with different ideas of finding music in nature. I found, because the film is centered around a gorilla, I started my research there. I found that gorillas actually hum and make music, or quote-unquote music, when they're feeding, and ways to communicate within their group. That ended up not being as interesting, but it did lead me to Costa Rica, where I recorded howler monkeys and processed their sounds. And it ended up being a really interesting element, musical element in the film, which is in the score. And in this scene, this cue in particular, I've stretched it and manipulated it through analog modular synths and created these interesting sonic atmospheres. The second track is called Gorillas, and this is when we're basically meeting this group of gorillas and these animals prior to them actually being affected by the pathogen. So it was really important for the music to give a sense of the natural world and basically a starting point from which we could start to manipulate the music. And for them, I had actually done a fair bit of research into African music and African choirs, and I came upon the African Children's Choir, which is a group out of Uganda and Kenya. They've been around, I think, for 30 or 40 years, and they put these choirs together of young children, and they tour different parts of the world. And there seems to be a choir touring most times. So I wrote a bunch of music for them, and we were able to catch this particular choir group before they left the U.S. Literally, I think it was New Year's Day. So we were flying New Year's Day, recording, I think, on the 2nd of January. And the great thing about writing for them, they sing completely by ear. I mean, if you sit and you play a piano for them, the piano kind of sounds out of tune because it's, our equal-tempered scale tuning that that here in North America and in Europe we've grown up listening to, but their tuning is much more natural. So it was an amazing experience to work with them and really get those harmonies and those elements that, you know, even more from the natural world than a lot of our music elements are. This cue Pavo is really the first time we hear the hero theme, Dwayne Johnson's hero theme, or his character Davis. And it's another place I use the choir, because in this moment in the film, it's meant to sort of be every day. Nothing has happened yet. This is sort of to depict their regular life. So it had to be heroic in kind of a subdued way. And it's a theme you hear later on in the film, almost always with Davis, Dwayne Johnson's character. But at the end of the film, you actually get to hear it represent the gorilla, George, and that this is something that he's inherited and learned from Davis, self-sacrifice that Davis never intended to teach him. Another moment here with the choir, you know, I ended up, because they learn by ear, I decided to put lyrics to their stuff, the melodies they were singing. So I put, wrote some phrases and then had them translated by some of the choir directors into Swahili and Lugandan, and then used those translations to put elements together. And it was meant really as a learning tool for them to be able to remember the different phrases, but it ended up actually being an element, the vocal element we used in the film. The plan had been, hey, let's teach it to them with the lyrics and then have them just do the oohs and ahs, and ended up being a mixture of the lyrics and those vocalizations. This is a cue called Wyoming, and I chose it because it's this moment here in particular. It's sort of our really bold villain theme, and it's sort of Marvel-esque, I guess, in that it has to be very unapologetic and very forward, and it ends up being not just the villains, but the vigilante group, the military group that they use, the creatures, once they're affected, sort of have this theme. So it really encompasses all of the antagonists in the film. This next cue is Cornfield, and it's an example. You know, I talk about the Brad and I really work to create these musical elements, that these signatures that you would get to hear gradually being manipulated with electronics through the course of the film. So they start very pure, and by the end of the film, you've got this real, you know, these elements that are paying homage to the video game, these electronic elements, really following along with the migration in the story, where, you know, you have these natural creatures who are being manipulated and becoming further and further from the way they were created in nature. So all of the themes go through this same process, with the one exception being the bond theme between Davis and George. And this is a place in the cornfield where he's talking about the moment he met George. And it's a theme we've heard in other places, that this is really the anchor for the theme, because it tells us where they met and how they met. And then it also is a moment where Kate's character gets to bond with Davis and say, you know, I've had a similar mission to protect my loved one, my brother. And it's sort of a moment where the theme takes her story and says, hey, you can share in this a little bit as well. And these themes were important because, or this theme in particular was important because we decided early on it's the one theme that never gets manipulated. It's that tunnel vision between these two characters that is pure and always pure. And even as George is changing and becoming more and more genetically edited and less George, there are moments where he and Davis still have this connection. They still have this bond. And we chose the children's choir in part, it's just such a potent emotional element, and it is instantly recognizable. So it would differentiate it from the other themes in the film. and, you know, remind us from its use at the beginning of the film, where it was used to represent nature and the purity of these animals. The cool thing about this theme is, through so much of the film, it really represents George's vulnerability and Davis's vulnerability. You know, Dwayne Johnson is this, just this gigantic, bigger than human character, but, you know, as an actor, he's so good at portraying this very human vulnerability that I think is why we all relate to him and root for him. So this theme had to really represent that vulnerability, but later in the film, this exact same melody had to become their power and their strength, because it's their bond that ultimately saves them. So musically, we had to make sure that it could achieve both and exist in both worlds. This next cue is Chicago, and it's when the animals start rampaging Chicago, and it's when it got really fun, being able to incorporate these elements that are 8-bit digital elements and sounds that we created using the same 8-bit SID chip that was used to create these early video games in the 80s. So it was really fun to incorporate that into orchestra, and also use a lot of these digital processing elements to put the different orchestra sections through. For example, the brass in this cue was recorded separately and then put through these ring modulators that were tuned in unison to give it this unique edge that doesn't sound completely inorganic, but you know, subconsciously has this slightly different than nature intended element to it. It was also an interesting challenge in this film. You know, whenever I look at scenes, I try to sort of assess the scene by who's in control of the scene, what character, what relationship is controlling a particular scene. And in this film, you know, so much of the film is chaos and rampaging, where no one's winning. You know, even our creatures who are our antagonists, they don't really have a mission. They're being manipulated, and their actions and their movements are somewhat chaotic and unpredictable. So unlike most stories, you don't really have someone who's in control and taking the reins. Which made it a real challenge to score, actually, because the music, in the places where it needed to sort of state a mission or a relationship or comment and tell a story in that way, it was much easier. But so much of the film is basically meant to be disorienting and chaotic. So the music had to help hint at these little moments of heroism, but basically contribute to the out of control nature that really is the video game, and as extension is our film and the story. The next cue is called Requiem, and this is, again, taking that George Davis Bond theme that we talked about earlier, which really represents a vulnerability, and showing how it becomes a power and gives them strength. And this was an interesting turning point in this. When I was scoring, you know, the way this scene had been temped was much more chaotic and you know, question mark in terms of the music as to whether they're going to win or not winning. And Brad and I sort of devised this idea that, you know, maybe the music knows more. It knows that we're going to watch George die here. We know it's futile and he cannot win. So how horrific is that, to sort of have the audience realize they're watching the end of a character, because there's just no way he can overcome his nemesis and the challenge. And, you know, it reminded me a little bit when I was writing this. I remember my daughter having surgery when she was younger, and watching her be taken into the operating room and knowing what she was going to go through, with her not completely knowing the difficulty she was about to endure over the next coming weeks in recovering from this, and this guilt that you feel as a parent. And it's a really terrible feeling to know the fate of someone you love without them actually knowing it as well. So I definitely thought of that as I was writing this, and I think it really changed the scene and made it a far more emotional fight scene than it initially could have been. And I think it helped also, I mean, there's so much action at the end of the film and there's so many battles, to be able to go back and forth between scoring them in a really emotional way and scoring the chaotic element that is over so many of them really made a difference and helped sort of break it up and give a point of view to these different action scenes. And it's interesting, the orchestra, we had a really big orchestra recorded at the Barbra Streisand stage at Sony. And even with that, you know, the epicness that this scene really asked for, I ended up actually writing two layers of 100-piece orchestra. And one of them is playing the long-held swells, and the other one is the fast marcato spiccato elements, and layering them over top. And putting them together was such a treat. It was amazing to hear these incredible musicians bring to life something that's so much larger than I'd ever imagined being able to write for. This last cue is, I mean, we just called it Rampage. It's essentially the main titles, which are, you know, more often than not at the end of films these days. I love writing these. I really love writing them. It's always the last thing I write, because it's an opportunity to really combine all of these different themes that have been used through the film and write a suite, you know, without having to be as conscious of picture changes, dialogue elements, all these things that really affect a piece of music. You know, normally, I think when I'm writing a film score, the idea of it being a listening experience on a soundtrack is kind of the furthest from my mind. I'm very, very focused on it being a part of the storytelling. And therefore, when it ends up being a piece of music that people like to listen to separate from the film, it's a bonus. But you know, I'm always very, very focused on how does it fit through with the dialogue, even frequency-wise, the frequency or the key in which dialogue performance is given very much informs, you know, the key to write the music in. Which actually, I mean, this is going on a further tangent, but when ADR happens and dialogue gets replaced, it can really throw a composer, because the music, the frequency of the music and the pitch of the music has been so carefully put together based on the delivery of dialogue and the pitch. I mean, there are pitches to how people say something and keys in which they deliver a sentence. So often in ADR, that isn't taken into account and that can be changed. It can really throw a cue and make it not work. So I love writing these end title sequences where it can all just be about music. This one in particular was fun. Some of the action music in the film, based on my studies in Polynesia of their rhythmic music, is these odd rhythms. You know, this one in particular is based on 11-8, so almost like a 4-4 with a 3-8 at the end of each bar. So 1-2-3-4, 1-2-3, 1-2-3-4, 1-2-3. And so there's some action sequences like that in the film, and I really enjoyed that, and almost creating this odd rhythm that when you're consistent with it, your audience gets used to it and accepts it. subconsciously and can enjoy it. So that is definitely a part of this main titles I'm in here. And, you know, it's another place where I was able to really play with the electronic elements. More than any score I've done, the subject matter of this story really called upon incorporating electronic elements. And I don't mean computer-generated soft synth elements, but I mean, you know, putting organic sounds through these old modular synths, like with knobs and resistors and that kind of thing, as opposed to computer chips. So it was really fun to do that and figure out a way for it to live with the orchestra. So many elements of this film were really, you know, comic book world, and having always wanted to do a superhero film like that, I sort of felt like, hey, this End Titles is a great opportunity to really write an End Titles like you would have in a DC or a Marvel film.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Annotator with Andrew Lockington and his original music for the feature film Rampage. The original score was released by Water Tower Music on April 13th, 2018, and is available digitally on Amazon.com. iTunes and streaming on Spotify and Apple Music. You can also hear more of his music and find out more about Andrew Lockington at his official site, andrewlockington.com. The Annotator is produced by me, Christopher Coleman, and you can find more episodes at theannotator.net, or you can subscribe via Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Google Podcasts, or on Spotify. You can also listen to the show on your Amazon Echo or Dot by simply saying, "Alexa, play the Annotator podcast on TuneIn." Wherever you do listen, please leave us a rating or a review. And if you know someone who you think would enjoy the Annotator, please take a moment to tell them about the show. You can also follow the show on Twitter at Audio Annotator or on Facebook at The Annotator, or send us your feedback via email to theannotatorpodcast@gmail.com.